Good morning. What a blessing to be here today. Glad you're here. I'm here. We're all here. Thank you, Dan. I asked Dan to do a couple extra songs today. So I'm well aware that it's 10:48, in case you were wondering what time it was. So we're going to jump right in, because I'm going to take advantage of today's graduation service and honoring our grads to start a new small series on summer school. Now, how many of you, okay, be honest, I was in summer school twice. And the third time I was in, it was actually because it was summer school in college, and I was trying to make up some classes. So we're going to start this, but the idea of summer school is with Christ in the classroom of love. You know, we were made for relationship with God. We were made to have relationships and open relationships with one another. And nothing is more important in life than relationships. You may not look at your life from that perspective, but if you will sit back for a second and think about it, you will see that you spend your time with people who you feel love you, or with people that somehow validate you. And so you can say that those are relationships. And that is the intimacy that goes on. And while, you know, we may avoid intimate relationships because we think they're confusing and difficult, and all of us have been here at least once in life betrayed, at least once in life we've betrayed someone else. And so often, because we think intimacy with people and getting too close to people creates too much confusion, but we also find out that the less we're around people with intimacy, really, the more lonely we are. And so as we begin this today, we want to think about this as we celebrate our grads. I want to have as a key thought today that I want to invite you to take your seat in God's classroom, because God has something to teach you today. As we think about this principle of being in God's classroom, nearly all of the problems that we have with our relationships, whether they are superficial problems or whether they are very deep problems, whether they are just you're ticked off with the person that's in front of you that hasn't used their turn signal the whole time you've been trying to get around them, that's pretty superficial, right? I mean, you don't even know who they are and you're not happy with them. Or whether it's somebody that you're really intimate with and you have a deep relationship with and you feel like they just walked all over that relationship. But the reality of it is that no matter what relationship, that relationship can reveal and trace what kind of religion we really have. It can reveal and open up and show us that the way we conduct ourselves in each one of those moments reveals really what our belief system is and how we think about things. So the question is what religion are we practicing? That's why we're in summer school these next few weeks. Because we're going to talk about what kind of practice do we have for religion, and what are we practicing within a particular relationship? In other words, who are we worshiping when we relate to others? Them, ourselves, or God? Who's the foremost expert? Some of you remember Dear Abby, used to be in the newspaper. Some of you are a little more familiar with Ann Landers, and some of you think the best expert on relationships is you yourself. Don't laugh. We all think that way. Maybe it's your best friend. Maybe it's the people that you think have stood with you for so long. They are the ones that you may believe that are the best. But I'm going to tell you the foremost expert on that and on relationships is the Lord Jesus Christ. God's God-man, the man, the uniquely born one, the one who came from heaven, came to us to give us the answers to the most unanswered questions about God and how to be related. You know, the most unanswered questions that people struggle with is, who's God? Is there a God? And how do I relate to him? How does he relate to me? In all of our songs this morning, we've rolled over and over and over about love. And Hebrews chapter 1 tells us that God's final word that he spoke about relationships, God's final word that he spoke when he brought all of the words before that in the prophets together, the whole sum of what God has to say to you and I about relationships is in Jesus Christ. The whole Bible stands on him. Without Jesus, the Bible collapses. It's just a house of cards. Without what he accomplished, what he did, what he said, he's the only person I know that predicted their own death and resurrection, and it happened. You can say anything you want about Muhammad, Gandhi, Buddha. You can talk anything you want about this one, that one, or the other one, Joseph Smith, but I'm going to tell you something. You can talk about, I don't care who you talk about. Jesus is the only one. That really, he is the authority on relationships. And so what happens is when we don't know about God, when we don't understand God, this is what we do. Look at this phrase. I found this yesterday, and I love that. It says, in the absence of strategic clarity, people arrive at their own conclusions. This is what happens in a classroom all the time. Teachers are always dealing with absence of specific information with students. So what are they doing? They're giving new information. Right, Bonnie? Right, Lori? All of our other teachers are here. Some of you have retired. Some of you are still teaching. Right, Brandon? When it gets to be in the music room, they have an idea what that note should sound like, right? But you hopefully pick up on it when it doesn't sound like it's supposed to, right? You know a C sharp from a C flat, right? Okay, just check. So as we consider this morning, this is what happens in Christianity all the time. When the Bible's closed, when we don't fellowship with God, when we don't have a relationship with God, we lack specific clarity. And so we arrive at our own conclusions and we make evaluations, and this is just the thing that we do. It's been said that the world is the classroom. Well, I want to tell you this morning, yes, it absolutely is the classroom, and we are all in the room. If you're in this world, you're in God's classroom. If you're in this world, you're in God's classroom of love. Now, I don't know if you've ever been in a school where you were invited into a class and you got in there and there wasn't a seat for you. Has anybody ever had that experience? It's a weird feeling. Sure, somebody rushes out and get one, but you know, when they finally get one in there, it's kind of an awkward thing. You can't get positioned. My son-in-law, Renato, my oldest son, he's from Brazil, but when he has trouble at a certain hour, like about 8 o'clock at night, he can't keep his eyes open. So he had a couple night school classes when we were in Brazil, and he'd come, and all of a sudden he'd get up out of his seat, because we started about 6, and about 8 o'clock in one of his classes, he'd get up and he'd go stand against the back wall of the classroom like this with his notebook in his hand and his pen. You know why he did that? Because he couldn't stay awake. But if you ever tried to position yourself like that and follow the teacher and take good notes, it is nearly impossible, because you need that space to rest. And so you and I, as we need that rest to learn. And so without a seat, it's really difficult to get settled. Not settled to check out, but settled to connect in and focus in and pay attention. And most good students, and I'm sure Sarah learned this, and I'm sure Brooke's going to discover this, if you really want to get the most out of your classes, you better sit way up front. Because everybody else in this day and age, they got something else going on. Right, Sarah? They got lots of distractions. You think you have distractions now? You wait till you get into a college classroom. Or you get in a classroom when you're doing your semester work, right? Your semester work, that's not what you call it. When you're getting your master's, what do you call that? Graduate. Yeah, graduate work. Oh, boy. Okay, anyway. Sorry. So, first thing I want you to think about. You get in the classroom of Christ's love because you're human. First of all, you're all in the classroom. You are all. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. At the very beginning, he said, look, let's make man in our own image. You are in God's classroom of love. You are in Christ's classroom of love simply because you're human. There's nobody on your outside. It doesn't matter whether they believe in God, don't believe in God. It doesn't matter if they're practicing something that God calls an abomination. It doesn't matter if they're fully embracing God. Everybody born as a human is born into God, Christ's classroom of love. But you take your seat in that classroom by being born again. So that's why people are scurrying around and they can't find answers, and they look for answers in all other places. They sense there's got to be a God. They sense there must be love, but he must not love me too much. Well, the problem is embracing that love requires that I embrace the fact that human life in John 3:5 produces human life. And in verse 7 it says, but spiritual life is only produced by the Holy Spirit. So the way you get a seat, the way you get a place to rest, the way you get a place to allow the lessons of life and what God wants to speak to you is to be born again. What does it mean to be in Christ's classroom of love in a broken and sin-dominant world? It doesn't mean to polish up. It doesn't mean to improve. It doesn't mean to repair our natural relationship skills with God to some level of protection, or excuse me, some level of perfection. So that God will accept us. It's a classroom designed to set us off in a new direction. It's a classroom that is designed to set us off in a new way of relating to God and others around us through Jesus Christ, who is the expert on relationships. So without being born again, oh yeah, we're in the classroom. We have trouble enough being born again, thinking that God loves us all the time like we sang today. But not being born again? It's really almost impossible to think that God loves me. It's almost impossible unless I look to Calvary and see what Jesus did in paying my sins. So before we get to this And before, if I asked you, what is your number one goal in life? Whatever would be your answer. Think about it. What is your number one goal in life? Whatever your answer would be, that is what many call your dominant life value. So if you think it's really important to be kind, then your dominant value is to be kind. If you think it's really important to be self-sustaining and self-responsible and have everything in order, then that's everything you push for and you require everybody else to do. It's the same thing for all of us. If your biggest goal is just to have fun, then you will always gravitate towards the things that to you are fun. They will always be your priorities. And as we look at that, we see that before this spiritual birth, our lives are not about everyone and everything else. They're about us, fully. We may have moments where we can have selflessness executed. Usually that's in a dire situation, or maybe with somebody that we really, really love. But our default place is always, what's in it for me? How does it affect me? And can I measure up? And can I do it? And so often, we don't recognize that even the very best things in life can serve as counterfeit gods. The very best things. We have a whole list of bad things that we never want to do, but we forget that the very best things. So much so that John, in his third letter, he said, little children, he said, keep away from anything that might take God's place in your hearts. Oftentimes, our external circumstances, they fail as reliable indicators of God's attitude toward us. There's probably circumstances in your life today, as well as there are in mine, that if I went by those, I would wonder if God loves me, like he says. I would be curious. So as we sing and reiterate and we bring these things to the forefront, learning to love is the number one life lesson that God intends for you to learn while you're on the earth. The number one life lesson is learning to love. In Matthew 23, 37 through 39, when Jesus was asked, what is the most important commandment? What is by the religious leaders? We all know what he said. If you don't, if you're familiar with it, he just said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. And then he said, everything about the scriptures resumes itself in those two points. Love God, love others. He said, the entire law. Peter told folks when he was writing them, he said, the most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. So what is it about relationships and what is it about being in this school, Christ's school of love? It's perspective change. It's a visionary change. When a person is born again, their perspective, the goal of God through the scriptures and the Holy Spirit is to set you in a new direction. Set me in a new direction, to put us in a different frame than what we got the first time, regardless of how well we were raised, regardless of how much investment we received from our parents. That moment of being born again, that moment of recognizing that I need the Holy Spirit and I need to pay attention to when he speaks to my heart because he has something to say to me. Because I can't hear if I'm not the one. I need you guys to pay attention. This is the most important morning of the lives of you here. Because God wants to teach you something. God wants to teach me something. Learning to love God and love others. If it's going to be our highest goal, our highest aim, our first priority, our deepest aspiration, our strongest ambition, our constant focus, our passionate intention and dominant life value, then there has to be a change. There has to be a change where I trust Christ as Savior. The book of Psalms says, his faithful love endures forever. This morning, the Holy Spirit would like to make that real to your life if it's not. The band, you can come on up. I'm all done. This is a key day. You know why? Because when the Holy Spirit works in your heart, when He brings things to a point of recognition, it's a lot like sex. It's a lot like romance. You can read about it in a health educational book. You can see it on TV. But until you actually personally experience it, until you actually personally have a relationship, a physical relationship, where you actually personally fall in love with another person, and that emotion and all that's involved with that takes over you experientially. A lot of people, they know Jesus saves. They know that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. But they've never experienced it. They don't have that sense that God is faithful. They don't have that sense that His faithful love endures forever. So if you bow your head with me right now, we're going to close up here, sing another song, and then we'll be done. Precious Heavenly Father, I don't know, maybe there's someone here this morning who doesn't know You as Savior. They haven't had a personal experience with You. They know all the words, but they don't know You. So I ask You right now in the power of You, who You are, as we sit together in this room, recognizing that we're in Christ's classroom of love. If anyone here doesn't know You, that they would just say, Jesus, I turn to You and I open my heart to You. I want to know You. I give myself to You by faith today. Your head's bowed and your eyes closed. If anybody's done that, just slip your hand up. I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to know so I can pray for you. Anyone here this morning, for the first time, thank you. Put that hand down. Anyone else, for the first time, you've trusted Christ as your Savior. Thank you. Thank you. Put those hands down. No promise to me. No promise to the Baptist Church. You're just trusting Jesus. That's three. Anybody else today for the first time? Okay. Thank you. Anyone else? That's four. Precious Father, You saw these hands go up in the midst of all the brokenness that we all experience and all still have going on in our lives in this classroom. But right now, by the power of Your Spirit, would You renew and restore and give peace and Your presence be settled and secure in each heart. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. After we get done here this morning, if you have a minute,